Lake Effect brings you conversations about what's happening in Milwaukee and the people, places, and organizations that shape our community. This is Lake Effect Spotlight from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
Bars play an important role for the local LGBTQ community, serving as a gathering place for safety and understanding. Bouncer, bartender, businesswoman, and community advocate Sharon Dixon has played a major part in Milwaukee's LGBTQ history. Throughout her career, she's been involved with nearly every woman's bar in town. After decades of serving her community, Dixon was recently in need of their support in return. Last month, a fundraiser was held in Walker's Point in honor of Dixon and her legacy in the LGBTQ community. Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski has that story.
In 1975, Sharon Dixon, along with her partner Joanne Kilsdonk, were the first women in Milwaukee to open a bar that was, quote, owned and operated by and for women. It was called the Sugar Shack, and it was the start of Dixon's career of not just being a bar owner, but a community protector who helped countless people in times of need. Michael Dakosh, chair of the Wisconsin LGBTQ History Project, explains Dixon's legacy.
So Sharon Dixon is really quite a pioneer in the Wisconsin LGBTQ history scene. For over five decades, for almost three generations, Sharon has been part of the community as a friend, as a business owner, as a champion, as a protector, as somebody who created spaces for women by women, which is an important distinction. For many, many years, there were lesbian bars or places that welcomed or in even earlier years tolerated lesbians. But Sharon saw a need and a need to be the difference. She knew that most of the bars that women were allowed to attend were owned by straight people. And those straight people were there to make money off the community. They weren't there to create a great experience. They weren't there to create a community. They really didn't care much about their customers. So Sharon saw a real need. She saw a need for spaces that understood women, that would create a community of women, and she set forth a plan in motion to own and open her first bar in 1975, and that really changed everything. There was nothing like it.
Women would travel from all over Wisconsin and even out of state to visit Dixon's bar, the Sugar Shack. Before she became a community figure here in Milwaukee, Dixon grew up in Hurley, Wisconsin. According to Takash, she was having problems at home and decided it was time to leave, and wound up hitchhiking to Milwaukee.
Now, keep in mind, she was 14 at the time. So at 14, Sharon was a homeless youth, very much like youth of today, you know, leaving home because they were not understood, not welcomed, not supported. And, I mean, she spent a lot of time in gas station bathrooms. She would, you know, go in the bathroom, the guys would close the station for the night, and she'd have a safe and warm place to sleep and somehow made it survive. She would stay in downtown movie theaters that were open 24 hours.
Dixon lived around the city and worked various jobs in Milwaukee until she got a cross-country sales job at just 17 years old.
Eventually, she did see all 48 states and basically went from, you know, coast to coast with this job. And that's really where she became aware of, you know, her sexual identity and who she really was.
Resourcefulness, grit, determination, all of these qualities are true to Dixon. In addition to the co-founding of the Sugar Shack, Dixon also ran Fanny's, Kathy's Nut Hut, and Studio 200 throughout the Milwaukee area. Diane Gregory, board member of the Wisconsin LGBTQ History Project and a local performer also known as Legs, shares what Dixon's bars were like.
Her place, well, we always knew we would see somebody that we knew. And it was just a whole different kind of a vibe because all women, mostly giggling, laughing. It was a club. You know, it was somewhere to know that you knew when you walked in, you'd see somebody you knew. She had softball teams. And I'm not sure when Sugar Shack closed, but then she opened Fanny's. And that's where everything happened. Wonderful dance floor. It was a great bar. The patio I've heard talk about. She did Fanny Fest every year and raised money for AIDS, which was pretty neat, outside. She did a lot of things for the community. It's given us a safe place. When Michael said about protector, she really was. You'd go into Fanny's and she'd be at the corner of the bar, and she'd be watching her people. You know what I mean? Her ladies. And I did end up working for her at Studio 200 when it turned into a techno bar. And, you know, she lost a lot of her regular customers, like, what's going on there? But again, I give her credit. She gave these young people a venue, and they came from all over.
Michael Takash says Dixon's role of being a protector goes all the way back to 1971 when she came back to Milwaukee.
She was a bouncer at the River Queen, which was a very popular bar, very hip and happening, that actually put some of the most popular gay bars of the 60s right out of business because it was so popular. And as a bouncer there, she really protected people, you know, from police harassment, from people harassing them on the street. She really took that job very seriously, and that is a job I think she's had ever since.
Part of Dixon's motivation to open her own bar was to change what she experienced as a bouncer, bartender, and cook in local LGBTQ bars. While they catered to the community, they were owned by straight people. And Takash notes that most owners did not look out for their customers the way Dixon did at her establishments.
No one was looking out for the women in these bars. They were just looking to make sure the women were spending money. And, you know, women didn't have as much money because they had, in some cases, children. Women made less money because there were not as many equal rights protections in the workplace. So people thought Sharon was crazy when she opened a bar for women because, you know, women don't have any money. What are you doing? But she saw the need and she felt it was really, really important.
In addition to giving people a safe space to enjoy dancing and being in community, Dixon also got involved in philanthropy, helping people both through big fundraisers and also in smaller ways, such as leaving gift baskets on people's porches who were in need of extra support.
You know, she took this commitment seriously. She raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for AIDS, cancer, LGBT causes, as well as individuals in need of care. So her idea was that everyone supported her right from the start, so she was going to support everyone around her. And that's something that she just kept on doing as long as she was able.
Jessica Fenner is the founder of Apart Music and a friend of Dixon. They met when Dixon owned Studio 200, working together on a weekly basis to put on events for the electronic music community.
At the time, there's sort of a rotation where we look for a home in Milwaukee. What is the venue going to be that welcomes what we call the underground and is interested in giving a home for that? And Studio 200 became that place very quickly. Historically, house and techno music was born out of the gay and black communities in Chicago and Detroit. And so although we are the music community, there's still a very strong connection there. And I think a very strong connection in attitude, right? The welcome and the sort of protectiveness and defender of being different, living out loud, being safe, that Sharon gave to the LGBTQIA plus community is also what she gave to the music community. And so our relationship really flourished given that approach. So although the music was completely foreign to her, she showed a great fondness for the people.
The COVID-19 pandemic clearly had a massive impact on local bars and at-risk populations. Fenner says she was concerned about Dixon being isolated, being more elderly, and not as tech savvy to be able to access support networks. So she and some friends made a point to keep in touch with Dixon.
Melody and I and a couple of others really made a point to keep in touch with her. And we developed that side of the relationship a lot more during COVID. And shortly after COVID, 2022, I had moved to Chicago that fall and then heard from Mel and Sharon that she had been receiving eviction notices for Studio 200. And, you know, there's more to that story that I won't get into, but the end result was basically that someone she had trusted on a business level had unknowingly to her had her sign over the property, and she found herself evicted from the property. She didn't know she was no longer the owner. And early in 23, she received that notice that she was had to vacate. And Sharon, you know, part of her fighting spirit that was described that made her survive as a teen and build her life the way she has means there's a certain amount of pride there and self-reliance and resilience that makes it tough to ask for help.
Losing Studio 200 also meant that Dixon lost her home that was above the club. Fenner says Dixon was determined to handle this situation on her own and was staying in hotels using her savings as well as a period in a shelter while Fenner and others were trying to help find more permanent and safe housing for Dixon.
There were a lot of challenges. And so Sharon was staying in these cheaper hotels and motels for far longer than expected. Funds, of course, diminished. And hey, I've been on the streets when I was 14, 15, 16. I can do this again, I think was the attitude that came up for her.
Fenner stayed in touch with Dixon on the phone and visited her every month as she could. Eventually, Fenner discovered that Dixon was completely unhoused full-time and had clearly been through some trauma.
It was tough. It was a really tough situation. She was absolutely destitute. She had all her belongings on her walking frame. She had declined just from what she was experiencing. Luckily, social services was able to kick into overdrive. And about 10 days later, Sharon was in housing. Thank goodness. But she had been unhoused for a good 4 or 5 months overall. And so you can imagine what that does to a person. And then after some time of her having a chance to get her feet under her, that housing was also sold. And we went back onto this treadmill of needing to find her a new place. But luckily, we're able to do that pretty quickly as well. And then visiting her in her new place 2 weeks later for Thanksgiving, she finally felt comfortable enough for us to be public about what she had been going through.
After Thanksgiving, Fenner and others began a GoFundMe campaign for Dixon to help raise funds to help her reestablish not just a home, but her quality of life. Last month, hundreds of community members came together for Remember When, a tribute to Sharon Dixon at Lacage in Walker's Point. Michael Takash of the Wisconsin LGBTQ History Project shares what motivated them to organize a public tribute for Dixon.
So the History Project, you know, really was inspired by the fundraiser that Jessica and Melody had put together and thought, you know, this is a community taking care of Sharon, but it's our community that Sharon has taken care of the most. So our idea was to step up and, you know, really pull people together whose lives have been touched by Sharon in some way and really allow them to say thank you.
The afternoon was filled with open mic tributes, drag performances, and more in celebration of a woman who's helped shape Wisconsin LGBTQ history. The fundraiser marked the end of Women's History Month, but more importantly honored Dixon's legacy of creating safe spaces.
She did everything the old-fashioned way. Blood, sweat, and tears. She didn't give birth to any children, but look around because we are her children. Because of Sharon and other wonderful women and men alike, they knocked down the doors and the walls and made paths for all of us to walk. So it was safe for us to go out. It was safe for us to meet. It was safe for us to party. And now everybody is so used to it and they think it's so commonplace, they all take it for granted. It wasn't always an easy way. But today we gather and we're able to say a unified, gathered thank you.
I caught up with Sharon Dixon briefly at her celebration between the many tributes, both on mic and from fans coming up to her on the dance floor. She says being able to create safe spaces for her community will always be her biggest accomplishment.
I prided myself on the fact that I tried my very best to make sure that they were always safe. Women at that time still needed a place to go where they could still be themselves. But I ruffled a few feathers. One of my first business cards said a place owned and operated by women for women. And some of the gay guys took it funny, but they got over it. I always wanted to help people if I could, but the women's community, whether it be gay or straight, it's just they all needed a safe place to go. Yeah, where they would be treated right. And it had to be done. It was the right time.
What does it mean to you to see all of them here today and some of your old bar patrons coming here to celebrate you?
That was heartfelt. I didn't expect such a big turnout. And I'm glad I showed up.
So how does it feel to be able to accept help from the people you've helped in the past and other people you've perhaps never met but are inspired by you?
Well, I'm somewhat embarrassed, but I'm also very pleased that so many showed up, and that's all I can really say. I was fortunate.
Dixon says she's enjoyed everything she got to do and gained a lot of respect out of it from all the women in the community. And in turn, the community showed up for her. They returned the favor of providing a safe haven to someone who provided that to them for decades.
Waves! Now this is all going, and it's all real. We checked. None of it was counterfeit. $2,600! That's a lot of love. For you, my dear, because that's how loved you are. To Sharon Dixon.
For Lake Effect, I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
Cause it only serves to make me more determined to achieve my final goal.
You can find more interviews like this one by visiting wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And while you're there, subscribe to the Lake Effect Spotlight podcast.